Hey everybody, we have a Liberty Big League doubleheader happening tonight. I'm your host, Patrick McFarland, coming at you with another episode of the Liberty Big League podcast. I really hope this doesn't diminish the plays on my last podcast because I thought that was a good one too. So I just really feel like podcasting tonight. And you can check out the other episode. I talked about Donald Trump and Tim Pool and his criticism of the mainstream media's coverage of Donald Trump's COVID infection and his quick recovery. And wouldn't it be nice if we were all conspiracy theorists and if the mainstream media used their conspiracy theorizing for benevolent ends? Anyways, this episode, I wanted to talk a little bit about my progression as an attorney and might give you a little bit of an insight, I suppose, into what it's like in the legal profession and developing your career. And I really have felt in the last little bit like I'm turning a corner in my career because I guess to give a heart-to-heart a little bit, and that's kind of what this podcast is for, I really struggled early in my legal career, and it's still a journey. However, I think I've been dealing with what a lot of attorneys deal with, which is quote unquote the imposter syndrome or feeling like you're just not cut out for something. But I think it's been interesting road so far to try to step into the shoes and just not having super great confidence in yourself or your abilities. And it seems like now that I'm on Twitter, I see a lot of other libertarians who are on Twitter who are also either going to law school or starting to practice law. And it's, I don't know, I think that I've tried to be a good mentor in my career, even though, I'm very early in my career, but I've tried to be a good mentor to other law students who are going through the same thing. And I hope this episode doesn't only appeal to law students because I'm sure that might be one out of the 60 or 70 people who listen to this show. However, if you're considering law school, chances are you're probably a bit too old to be in law school. But if you're considering law school, the first thing I would say is don't. Just kidding. Seriously though, think about, really be sure that that's what you want to do and that you have a passion for the law in the legal field. And it's something that you would consider, or at least you envision yourself considering, to not be work. And it's a serious thing. Like, for example, this podcast, or at least the Liberty Weekly podcast, it wouldn't happen unless I considered it to be fun. And when I didn't consider it to be fun, when it was work, people in the audience could tell, I think, but I also think that I could tell, and I took a break, and I don't think that you're necessarily going to succeed at something unless you see it as not work, or you have that mindset, or it's kind of like that for you. So if you think that you have the potential to feel that way about the law, it's not going to be fun all the time, even if you do love it in terms of, oh, this isn't work because I'm super duper into it. It will be hard at times and challenging and stressful a lot of the time, and you're going to put in super duper long hours and be away from your family and not be able to do the things that you love. However, I mean, it can be like that with a lot of jobs, It can be like that, say you love being an electrician and you run your own business. You got to bust your tail to succeed in it. Well, you're going to be away from your family and be working hard and be uncomfortable and be cold and be, cramping your fingers together and working above your head. And, just for example, with the electrician game. So, anyways, I'm about 2 or 3 years out after taking the bar exam and passing and starting my practice in a position, my first job didn't really work out super well. And it was in a field that it was more of a general practice and not something I felt like I was meant to be more of a specialist. However, the thing they don't tell you is that when you graduate law school, you still have no effing clue what you're doing. And even though law school might necessarily, it might give you the tools that you need to succeed eventually and a rudimentary understanding of what the law is about, you never learn it practically unless you're practicing it. And this is in part why I don't think that the state bar should exist, or in part that there shouldn't be a licensing system for attorneys. And because I walk that back a little bit. I don't think the state bar shouldn't exist, but you shouldn't have to be licensed through the state bar to practice law. And it might just very well be that, free market systems, Milton Friedman's work on that aside, it should just be that the market should work and it should produce people who, say for your average criminal case, you don't necessarily need someone who can take a case to trial. You might just be able to have a criminal attorney who can do your bond hearing and who can communicate with the DA and get a deal for you. And, the 10 or 15% of cases that actually have triable issues that are worth taking to trial, then they refer that on to a trial attorney. Bam. Or, for instance, you could have a personal injury attorney in my field, and sometimes this happens. You have a attorney who doesn't specialize in personal injury, but agrees to sign your case with the agreement that they will try to settle the case. And if the case, can't settle, then they will refer your case on to another attorney who will take it to trial or will file a lawsuit in it and go forward with that. And just for that initial period, you don't necessarily need someone who has a law degree. So, just some of my thoughts, and actually there was a law professor who was running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court who is from Marquette, I believe, and we got to talking at one of his events, and he was talking to me, and he was a liberal, but he was talking to me about how he thinks that the licensing for attorneys should be more lax. And that we should have people who, exactly what I just described. Because in places like Wisconsin and other states in rural counties cannot attract attorneys because, well, this might change because of coronavirus now, because everyone is fleeing the cities. However, rural counties can't attract attorneys who there's actually constitutional crises happening in rural counties across this country right now because the smaller towns, they produce, there's a brain drain. They produce intelligent individuals who flee to the bigger cities. And they don't come back home because it's harder to make a living as an attorney in a rural area. Frankly, once you go to law school, you want to be making six figures. Well, you know how hard you have to work to make six figures in rural counties? You don't just have to have a good legal mind, you have to have a good business mind, and you have to work that. And my hats are off to whoever is a solo practitioner or a partnership with just, excuse me, with just two attorneys. Hats off because you have to be a good business person and a good litigator, and that's not very easy to do. So, laxing those laws, or excuse me, laxing those licensure requirements, I think would be a good way to get rural communities better served. And it's not applicable in every single situation, but we know how the market works. And I think it'd be an interesting solution to a big problem that's happening right now. This was a problem before COVID happened because specifically in the state, some counties haven't even had their first jury trial yet since March. And imagine, and I'm going to be covering this in my next Liberty Weekly podcast episode about, there's a wonderful dissenting opinion to the Supreme Court, the Wisconsin Supreme Court order postponing jury trials during COVID-19. And I was going to go through that dissenting opinion by, I think it's Justice Rebecca Bradley. And I wrongly said, because there's two justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court who are named Bradley. I think one is Ann Walsh Bradley and the other justice is Rebecca Bradley. And one of them had an incredible dissenting opinion that's full of wonderful libertarian language. And she's not a libertarian, but I was going to go through that on the next episode. But there's a lot of counties in Wisconsin who that haven't even had a jury trial yet, much less a civil jury trial. And this goes, as I'll talk about in the episode, it goes back all the way to the Magna Carta. And if you know the Magna Carta, or if you've listened to my episode of the Liberty Weekly podcast on the Magna Carta, you know that the Magna Carta is actually a document that harkens back to an older period of time. So we're talking about jurisprudence that spans like the history of the human race, this idea of due process of law and getting your day in court and the rule of law. And I think it's unprecedented in, I don't know, Western society history that they would postpone jury trials. And it's a travesty. Yeah, I can't even state how much of an abridgment of justice it is. And I don't even know if at any point in history jury trials stopped. And it's a right guaranteed by the US Constitution, a right to a speedy and fair trial, especially in criminal cases, but in civil cases, I mean, you have people who have been horribly, catastrophically injured who can't get their day in court and get their settlements, because someone else infringed upon their property rights by putting them at an unreasonable risk of harm. And that's like it's like a private wrong that is enshrined by the public bad, you know, enshrined, I don't know what parallel I'm trying to make here, but it's like a fascist kind of private it's allowing the wrongdoing of private actors through public means, if that makes sense. And it's really a travesty. So I started off this episode by thinking that I would talk about my own progression as an attorney, but I don't know how we got to this point. So I think that just kind of lately in the past few months, I feel like I've really made a turnaround or turned a corner rather. And I think it's been an embrace of the suck in terms of there's a lot of you know, maybe I don't, maybe the listenership would find this funny because with the podcast for like 3 years now, I've been putting out my thoughts in a public arena, and I've dealt with, you know, people criticizing the show or getting after me or trying to make arguments, which, you know, who gives a shit? But at the same time, it's been really hard to get out there in my professional life in terms of doing things like representation, you know, high activities such as going to court and arguing motions. Sorry, promised myself I wouldn't yawn in any more Liberty Bigly episodes because no one wants to listen to that. But, you know, in terms of doing depositions or arguing motions or having uncomfortable client meetings or having a trial in of itself or interacting and calling with insurance adjusters and having them be pissed off or trying to bludgeon them with facts and logic and try to get them to cough up more money. Those are, or, you know, taking a client intake call on a case that's worth $3 or $4 million. That's something that's pretty stressful. And I think the only way that you really overcome it is just by embracing it and jumping into it. Because once you go into something, say like a deposition, and have everything that could possibly go wrong, and the next day you wake up and you're still alive and well and in your bed, then walking into that next deposition is not quite as hard. Because you've seen everything that can go wrong and you have persisted. And, my dad always used to tell me something. We had this, I had this game, like a play school game or something called Ants in the Pants. And it was this pair of plastic overalls that you would sit up in a tower, and it had a spot in the top that was open. And they had these plastic ants where you would like press down on the butt and it would rebound, and the rebound would send it flying into the air. And apparently, I was obsessed with this game when I was a kid, and I would get pissed off because it was really hard to take the ants in the pants and to flick them and have them land in the pants. And my dad tried to use this as a dad teaching lesson. And he's repeated it throughout my life as if I didn't learn the lesson the first time, because I didn't actually. But he's repeated this throughout my life, saying that, everything in your life is like ants in the pants. You got to practice and practice and practice at it before you really master it. And, there's some, I think he's a Gen X. He's not actually a boomer, but there's something about, he says how my generation, which I'm a millennial, but he would say how my generation has this problem with instant gratification. And I think there's probably some truth to it. This whole traditionalist, I was brought up in a conservative house, but this whole tradition as to hard work, but perseverance and self-responsibility, but not, low time preference, not expecting things to happen right away and putting in the work for the long haul. And it's something that is hard, particularly for me. But it's a lesson you definitely have to learn, especially when you're trying to do something that is monumentally difficult and taxing. So if you are, in any line of work that you're doing, if you're trying to be a professional, or if you're trying to run a business or practice or master a trade or anything like that, if you want to be a welder or a plumber or be a construction worker and then have your own construction company, or be a contractor, or if you want to be a doctor, or if you want to, I don't know, be a politician, which. But, if you want to be the next Ron Paul, or if you want to, I don't know, be a mortgage per like a banker, or be a financial advisor or a retirement specialist, think about that, and think about how you're not going to be good at something for quite some time, and how you're going to have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. And if you embrace it, and if you keep trying at it and keep working at it, and of course, this is a lesson I'm learning and living every day, you're going to have to go through a lot of uncomfortableness and a lot of self-doubt and unsure, before you make something. And it's going to take a while. And I'm not even there. I'm only a small fraction of the way on my journey. But yeah, just a few journaling thoughts here. Just my own processing, which is what this podcast is about. But I hope that, hopefully this podcast found you at an opportune time. Maybe you're a little bit further on in your career or your life. And maybe take some time now to reflect and think back about what this time was like for you in your own progression. Or maybe think about, maybe you didn't end up persisting with it, and maybe you gave it up, and maybe that was the right choice. I don't know. It's your life, but hopefully this was able to give you some insight and at least pause for thought and reflection on your life or what the future might still hold. You know, if you're a bit older and you want to start a new career, or if you're not satisfied with what you're doing, think about what it was like when you were first starting out, and maybe that's exciting. You know, maybe starting down a new path is something exciting, but I always remember that you have to do the ants in the pants, I suppose, and put in the grind and put yourself in uncomfortable situations that might pay off later. And I think that's part of the low time preference behavior, but it's also part of the culture of rugged individualism and rugged responsibility and self-reliance that our country needs and that our culture needs. And that if we're ever to bring about a truly libertarian individualist society, it's something that is going to be very important. I think that a culture of, I don't think politics is downstream from culture. At least that doesn't apply all the time. But I do think that in order for a libertarian society to exist, the culture has to change, and it has to be one not necessarily of traditional conservative values all around, although I do think that traditional conservative values do support the libertarian world. And that would be cultures of our values of hard work and responsibility and low time preference. Those things go hand in hand, in my opinion, but it's something that we're going to have. So, I'll leave it off there. Thanks for listening. This was a Liberty Bigly doubleheader. Make sure you subscribe to Liberty Bigly, share the show, rate, review, all those things. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be recording episode 4 of Unhallowed with my wife Lizzie, and I totally understand if that's not your slice of pie, but it's a gothic horror podcast where we dissect classic works of gothic horror from the Victorian era, and we're going to be talking about Charles Dickens and The Signal Man, which is a story he wrote, which was a premonition of his own death, in a way. I think it's really interesting. So, yep. So, thanks again. Subscribe, rate, review, check out Unhallowed, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.